Then this is the Lord has laid on my heart for us to share, titled Righteousness in Your Generation. Righteousness in Your Generation. Addressing the fact that as Christians, you and I should be instruments of God's righteousness in this world. Titled is Righteousness in Your Generation. And we are going to look at Genesis chapter 6. I think I'll just read along. If you just follow me, please. We'll be picking from different places. But the main text is Genesis chapter 6, the whole of Genesis chapter 6. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, all whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and bird of the air. For I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was also corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third depth. And behold, I myself am bringing flood water from the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing on the earth after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. Thus, Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. Take from chapter 7, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Righteousness in your generation. Righteousness in your generation. The essence of what we want to talk about today is basically that as children of God, those who have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, God expects us to be righteous, to stand up in our generation. We are ambassadors. In 2 Corinthians 5, 20, I think it is, the Bible tells us that we are ambassadors of Christ. We are ambassadors of Christ. We are representatives of Christ. We are representatives of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we know that God is the Holy God. He is expecting you and I to be instruments of righteousness. So going to Genesis chapter 6 is basically to show us that God is a God of purpose. God is a God of plan and purpose. Whatever it is that God has intended to do, or has intended to do, or is intending to do, or is even doing right now, is not out of tune We may not understand where you're going, we may not understand how he's doing it, but ours is just to follow suit, ours is to follow him. For we know that within there is no unrighteousness. If that has been established, it's a holy God. God is a God of plan and purpose. He's bringing, creating man into the world was to achieve a purpose. But the Bible tells us in this chapter that we read in Genesis 6 that God himself assessed what was going on and saw that the wickedness of man was so great that it grieved his heart. And he decided that, you know what, I'm going to do away with all these people. I'm just going to beg him bother to create them. I'm going to do away with these people. But in spite of the way that the Lord felt, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, in spite of the way that the ancient of days felt, he saw right there inside that unrighteousness, he saw one man that stood out in his generation. And the Bible tells us, it's that Noah walked with God. Noah found grace. God had made up his mind, I'm going to destroy the whole world. I will not destroy those, anything that has breath, human beings, animals, I'm destroying everything. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It's pretty much what is happening today. All over the nations of the earth, we know that the world has become so corrupt. The world has become so depraved. People are doing things that, you know, have used to cut before. That, who is doing this? It's terrible. But today, they say, you know, just, you know, with a wave of hand. In fact, they are considered to be touche. They are considered to be, you know, young. They are considered to be psychedelic. They are considered to be happening. They are considered to be gay. Well, the more you, the more things, you know, the more you decorate things in your life. But God has called you and I to be different. And we have seen that He's the Lord, He changes not. It doesn't matter what our personal opinion may be. It doesn't matter how much we desire, you know, what we see the things of the world. God is righteous. God is holy, God is just, God is pure. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will not change. His standards will not diminish. So all through the ages we see that God demands righteousness, sanctification, holiness. He demands us to be righteous. Those who have been redeemed, He demands us to be righteous. All through the ages, you are found evil. What is it to be righteous? To be righteous is to be blameless before God. For God to look at you and I. God will look at a man or a woman and say, and accept the person and say, this person, I don't have anything that I can hold against him or her. As far as my stand, my righteous standard is concerned, it's having integrity before God. It's being blameless before God. It's being in right standing, being in good standing with him. That even though men may accept you to meet up with their own standard, but before God sees you as righteous. God sees you as blameless. God sees you as a child that has integrity. God sees you as somebody who has all right approval. And beloved, this is what matters. Just like we can earlier on, they don't know what you mean to me. Why should I be afraid? Why should we allow and subject ourselves, you know, to be measured by the standards of men? There is only one judgment, or rather assessment, that should matter to you and I as children of God, and that is how God sees us from His lens. Righteousness is important. Righteousness is the utmost thing. I mean, the utmost priority for every child of God that wants to make it to heaven. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, the Bible has examples of people who have lived righteously. You know, today people make excuses. Oh, because of this, that's why I sold a little man. Oh, because of this, that's why I stole. Oh, because of this, that's why I coveted. Oh, because of this, that's why I committed adultery. Oh, because of this, that's why I cannot serve God. We have a thousand and one reasons, a million and one reasons for why we are short of God's righteous acceptance. And honestly, the reasons will keep on increasing. The Bible says that in the latter days, men will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrine of devils. And we're seeing it. We're seeing it everywhere, even in the church. It's amazing, you know, that when the Bible was leading us in prayer and worship, And you mentioned that today many pastors are majoring on deliverance. I remember this morning when he had left the house to go for evangelism, and I was sitting up there and saying, let me dust off just in case, you know, let me dust off whatever God wants me to share from him on all the form. I was hearing, you are delivered, you are delivered, you are delivered. The pastor was screaming, that was just down there, screaming and screaming. And I said, well, something. I think that today we should, you know, pay attention to worshiping God, the gathering of the saints together, hearing testimony, uplifting testimony and stuff like that. May the Lord have mercy upon us in Jesus' name. So we have that example of Noah that we just read. In fact, the whole, to get the whole thing, you have to read Genesis 6 to 10, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. That's where you find the whole story that Noah found great in spite of the fact that there was evidence in his society. What we're talking about generations is not far-fetched. We're talking about your environment. We're talking about your society, your nation. We're talking about your village, your town, your city, your nation. And even the world, why not? If unbelievers can make so much money that the whole world can hear their name and say, oh, this is what is the mighty man of finance. We can also stand out for God. We can also stand out for God. That's the challenge. Now stand out and be righteous in your generation. It's been accomplished before. Noah did. In Genesis chapter 5. In Genesis chapter 5. Let's go to Genesis chapter 5, verse 18-24. It's another man that stood out righteous in his generation. Genesis chapter 5, verse 18-24. Jared lived 100, I'm starting from here so that we can see the background of the man. Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. After he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. Can you imagine that in those days, earlier on, you know, that men could actually live close to 1,000 years, over 100 years, going to 200 years before they even had a child? And then after that, God would give them 20 years to live. So this Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. And after he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Enoch, the son of Jared. Enoch, I think, should be seventh from Adam. His generation is the seventh generation from Adam, the very first man that God created. Bible said he lived for 65 years. Then he had one child called Methuselah. And after Methuselah, God gave him another 300 years to have other children. And while he was at this same world, this same wicked world, this same, Enoch lived before God. The world was crooked even at that time. But this is a man who chose to walk with God. Enoch walked with God, and he was not for God to him. Enoch was found righteous in his generation. His forefathers had lived almost 1,000 years and had died. So when he came to him, God must have really enjoyed fellowship with him. God must have really been pleased with his life. God must have really, you know, he must have really been one with him in communion, one with the Godhead. So much so that God took him for other purposes, to come and be with him in heaven and for whatever purpose that God would ask him to fulfill. Enoch walked with God. Another person that walked with God, we're not going to read because his name is scattered all over the Bible, we will just take one scripture that, you know, out of three, that confirms that this man walked with God, and that is Father Abraham in James chapter 2, verse 23. James chapter 2, verse 23. That scripture tells us that Abraham not only believed God, but Abraham walked with God, such that he was called a friend of God. James chapter 2, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So we're talking about being righteous in your generation. Choosing, dedicating yourself to be different. dedicating yourself to God, devoting yourself to God, that God can look at you and say, I have seen grace, that she is righteous in her generation. I have seen Peter, I have seen Paul, that is righteous in his generation. And righteousness in your generation doesn't mean you have to travel all over the world. No! It just means doing what God has called you to do and shining forth the light of the kingdom of God. Carrying the kingdom of God, the required things that God will take you in this world during your years here on earth. Standing out to be different. Making up your mind that I am not going to do like the world is doing. I've been called out. God has called us out of the world. That's why Jesus came to die. So that anyone who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And he has called us to become ambassadors of his kingdom. Abraham walked with God. Abraham believed God and was accounted unto him for righteousness. He was found righteous, such that God said, we'll see it later, that God said, in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. In you, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And when he was talking to Israel through prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 51, he said, I call Abraham alone. God is not going to call you with your best friend. God is not going to call you with anybody else. He's going to call you alone. Even in a marriage, God will bring you together to fulfill his purpose. But there are still some things that he has called you to do, which he has not called your spouse to do. There are some things in fulfilling the plan and purpose of God. There are some things that the wife has to do. So in those things, God has called you alone. If God has called you to dust off the things that are going to be published, for example, so the man is preaching, the wife is publishing, and you have not done anything, you will answer to God. If the husband is supposed to give prayer support and give all kinds of logistic support for the wife to accomplish the purpose for which God brought them together, he has still to do it. Grace will answer to God because we have all been called to be instruments of righteousness. Nothing more than that. So anything that we think that we are achieving in this world that is not in line with the plan and purpose of God, to fulfill the plan and purpose of God, to bring you into this world, you will not be seen as righteous. You will not be seen as fulfilling the plan of God for your life. That will not be according to Jesus' name. Then we have the example of David, King David, who reigned as the king, whom God exalted. And the promise of God for David are not even finished. Because he said in the millennial rule, David is going to, he has made him a king, he's made him a ruler over his people, a judge over his people, Israel. David is still coming back to fulfill that. In Acts 13:22. I like the way it is put there. That's why I'm not using the example of the Old Testament. This one is more comprehensive. Acts chapter 13, verse 36. Then for David, after he had served his own generation, by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his father, and saw corruption. That guy, he's not going to die in the flesh. He shed his everything that happened. David, after he had served his own generation, how did David serve his generation? David served his generation by doing the will of God. When you do the will of God, when you execute the will of God, God tells you go here and go. God tells you speak to this person, you do. God says pray. God says wake up and begin to interpret for this. God says give, you give. God says I need you to do certain things. Whatever it is. Whatever it is that the Lord demands of you and I as children of God, and you do it, you are serving your generation because you are making an example. God will say, on the last day, there are some people that will give excuses for not doing what God asked them to do. And God will say, but when you say, you just do not know this person, this person was not to be 2 feet away from you. And I asked you to do the thing that you refused to do and he gave it. How come you were not able to do it? David served his generation, after he served his own generation, by the will of God, by fulfilling the will of God, he was actually serving his generation. It was time for him to go and finish his speech. Fell asleep and was buried with his father. Also, The Bible tells us, in that same act 13, we go over verse 22. The Gospel tells us, you know, how God accepts this saving. Acts chapter 13, verse 22. Says, and when he had removed him, that's when he had removed, he came before him. He raised up for them, raised up for his people Israel, David as king, to whom also he gave testimony. This is not a pastor giving testimony. This is not a prophet giving testimony. This is God himself giving testimony of a man. He raised up for them, David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. It's challenging. It's a very challenging scripture. God, look at God said, the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro the whole earth, searching out a man that he can see, who is looking for him, that he can show himself, so that God can prove himself on the behalf of that man, prove himself strong. And God found David, the son of Jesse, an eighth child, a man after God's own heart, righteous in his generation, seeking for God's heart to please God. Said a man who will do all my will. There was a man that was chosen before by name King Saul, but he did not do all of God's will. He did not do the things that God asked him to do with a perfect heart. Was not serving God with a perfect heart. For example, God said, go and destroy the Amalekites. And I said, because they were wicked to my people when they were passing their heritage, their land, I'm going to deal with them. They were smiting my children, the ones who were weak at the back. These Amalekites will not show kindness to Israel. I'm going to deal with them. And then God chose to use King Saul to deal with the Amalekites. But rather than do what God asked him to do, he went and killed certain animals and they thought were not good and brought the good ones and the king. The Bible talks of how the king walked dedicated. God was upset. May that not be our portion in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. That when God has asked us to do something, let us do it the way he wants it done. So that we can be seen as righteous. So we can stand out for God in our generation. We can stand out in our all girls or all boys association. We can stand out in our neighborhood. We can stand out in our churches. We can stand out in our offices. We can stand out in the market places. There are Christians that sell things in the marketplace and they don't beat the bottom of the derrida. So you get all your grains of rice, you get all your grains of beans, you get all your garri. But there are other people too who call themselves Christians who will sell even actually with small tomato thing and you think it's squashed. And I wonder how much of the squashed one is going to make any point for you. How much are you making? Just using a simple thing that women can understand. But God has called you and I to walk blameless before him. God has raised us up so that we can be men and women of integrity. That wherever we find ourselves, whether you are a technocrat in the government, whether you are working in government, whether you're walking at home, even as a housewife, you can make a great impact on the lives of people around you. You can stand out and be different. People can know you that this one should not compromise on this. Praise the Lord. Another example, we have Daniel. Daniel could have been bitter. Daniel could have been murmuring and complaining. Look at me. I was in my father's land. God, you could not even deliver us, you allow us to go. As to talking, you can never come and carry us as slaves. They have brought us to this place now. Look at what has befallen me. I have been made a eunuch by a man. I wasn't born a eunuch. I have been made a eunuch. King Nebuchadnezzar has made me a eunuch. Look at us here. In a land of strange land. He can be there lamenting and complaining and murmuring and getting bitter and everything. But the Bible doesn't tell us that. Rather, the Bible told us. Or rather, the Bible tells us, because it's present on Timothy, the Bible tells us that this Daniel, please look at Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, is when they had taken them to Babylon. The Bible says that Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of King Nebuchadnezzar's delicacies, nor with the wine which the king drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. I don't want to defile myself. He knew who he was. He knew that he was a chosen one of the tribe of Israel. He knew that they looked at these other nations as vile nations, nations that do not know God, as good priests. And so he fumbled in his heart that even though I'm here, it's like somebody in the village being taken to America. That's the nation that everybody wants to be. Being taken to, I won't even say India, being taken to America, I won't even say Canada. And then the person gets there and goes mad. The person gets there and goes crazy. Because they're saying, licentious living, licentious talking, licentious use of credit cards, licentious use of the road. You can drive 90 miles an hour in something, 65 miles an hour, kilometers miles an hour. You can, you know, run your kilometer, you can collect all, you know, you can just live as you want. The law will still catch up with you. But he got there and said, you don't eat. I know where I'm coming from. I'm serving Jehovah. I'm not going to defile myself with this idol worship. Their food and their drink are going to be different. When you read the account further down, you'll see that God honored not just what he had in heart. God honored him and his friends. The Bible says that even though they did not partake of the food of the king's table, and they ate just pork and green vegetable, their countenance was 10 times better. Not just countenance, even intelligence. God gave them intelligence that superseded all the intelligence of all people that surrounded the king in the king's court. He was found righteous in his generation. And when we say that you are being righteous in your generation, it's important who is giving the testimony. The testimony is important. Who is giving the testimony that you are righteous? Is it God? Or is it an unbeliever, an ungodly man? When an ungodly man says that somebody is righteous, you know that he knows what he's talking about. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
In Daniel chapter 5, let's go to chapter 6 first. In Daniel chapter 6, there's another account there. In Daniel chapter 6, they were envious of Daniel. Let me just read a little bit. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Daniel the king to step over the kingdom 120 treasures, to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one. That the centurions might give account to them, so that the king will suffer no loss. This is the king that had, you know, his domain was vast, was massive. And so he thought in his heart that, okay, let me cut it off and put overseers, you know, so that I won't have any damage. The realm can be well built up. There will be no complaint. And the Bible says that this Daniel was one of them. Over these three governors of whom Daniel was one, that the sergeants might give account to them, and the king would have no law. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors. Even among his peers, he stood out. Daniel distinguished himself. Brethren, we cannot pray and say, oh Lord, make me righteous in my generation. Oh Lord, make me righteous in my generation. And we refuse to distinguish ourselves. And we refuse to change the things that are not doing right. And we refuse to cooperate with the Word of God, with the Holy Spirit. And we refuse to invite the Word of God and let the Word of God come into our heart and change our paradigm. The way we think, the way we assess things, the way we understand it, the way we interpret the Word of God and use it to help it to guide our life when we go out there into the world. But reading it here, this Daniel distinguished himself above the government. He was diligent. Daniel was diligent. The Spirit of God was in him. So, I mean, he cooperated with God. He loved God and cooperated with God. He was diligent. And so, he stood up above all the others. Because an excellent spirit was in him, the Holy Ghost was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Out of these three, this one. This guy is good. And we're not going to be deported with this. I I'm going to send it down. The king didn't talk to it. I'm sure he probably mentioned to one or two people, or maybe people couldn't even decipher. See the way the king was interacting with Daniel, that this king, what we're paying him, is going to set this stranger before us. So what did he do? He decided to gamble against Daniel. So the governor of Antioch sought to find some chance against Daniel concerning the kingdom. What can we say? What can we do so that the king will be upset with this Daniel? How can we knock him off? We don't want him yet. Look at this again, they have been shining. We are not shining again, the way we used to shine. So they colluded to bring Daniel down. Why? Daniel was faithful. What can we say that he is breaking what law? What law is he breaking? But the Bible says. But they could find no charge for Paul because he was faithful. Daniel was faithful to his duty. Daniel was faithful to the king. Daniel was faithful in serving the people he was supposed to serve him. He was diligent. Still, no more than any error or fault found in him. Then this man said, we shall not find any charge against Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. We can't think of anything else. It has to be the thing he loved the most, and it has to be the law of his God. Because we know he won't break it. So this governor, etc., thrown before the king and said unto his king, they came up with some strange things to make a royal statute, and nobody should ask any petition of anybody except the king. No, I'm not going to read everything. Look at verse 10, Daniel 6. It says, now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knee 3 times that day, and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, and was, as was his custom, since early days, consistency, integrity. He would rather wrong men than wrong God. He continued, he prayed, opened the window and prayed. Then this man now came. This man assembled, found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God, and they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. We know the story. Long and short of it, Daniel was thrown into the lion pen. Righteous in your generation. Standing right before God, not compromising your faith, not compromising who you are. Daniel refused to compromise in spite of the fact that there was a great penalty for those who did not, who went against the law that the king had made, that nobody should ask any position for 30 days of any other God but himself. There is something here when I read it, I feel wow. People who have served God, who have served God. Look at verse 18. After they had put Daniel in verse 17 in the lion's den and filled the mouth of the den so that nobody can come out. Verse 18. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. Can you imagine? A king. Now the king went to his palace, a hidden king, and spent the night fasting, not for himself, but for Daniel. And no musicians were brought before him. Also, his sleep went from him. The king loved Daniel. The king knew that Daniel was an upright man. The king knew that the part of envy that his clan was in him. They hoped it's like saying that the president of like saying that crazy man in America loved somebody that God had distinguished so much, and he was forced to bring out a decree that will finish that guy. Then he goes into his home and doesn't do all the necessary things he used to do, and he's fasting, begging for the life of Daniel. His sleep went from him, no music. And you know that this, especially the way kings lived in those days, the king's court was always full of feasting, food, music, enjoyment, and all sorts of things, world enjoyment. His sleep went from him. But then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of life. When he came to the den, he cried, the lamenting voice of Daniel. The king spoke saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, have your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lion? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, no injury whatever was found of him, because he believed in his God. Now, this is how he generation. A hidden king, David. Now listen to what he says. Verse 24. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had acted from him, and they cast them into the den of lions. Then their children, their wives, and the lions who had passed them, and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. God said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And we can see, he repaid those who planned against this child of God, who stood out in the generation. Then he gave us food to all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. That's how powerful the various was. The peace multiplied to you. I made a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because one man decided that he will not defile himself, that he will stand for God. He distinguished himself. He was diligent. He was faithful. He served. But as the Bible told us in the book of Proverbs, the things that man diligent in his way, he will not stand before me, man. He will stand before me. Because of Daniel, a hidden king now makes a decree for all people of the earth, because that's how big his realm was, in his dominion of his kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, majesty of the king, and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed. Please tell me now, is there anybody who has preached to Daniel about the God of Israel? Nobody has preached to Daniel about the God of Israel before this time. So what do you think was happening here? The Spirit of God has come upon a human king to get him to do the will of God, to proclaim the name of the Lord, Jehovah, to proclaim that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Amen. I make a decree that he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one that shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. Is that the thing? Praise God. It is wonderful. The Holy Spirit came upon Darius and he made this decree. He delivered and rescued, and he walks time and wonder in heaven and on earth. Today we're making fun of our signs and wonders. This is centuries ago. A human king was talking about the Ancient of Days as the God whose dominion shall endure forever. As a God that delivers and rescues, who walks signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Please, was Daniel, the lion of death, was he in heaven? He was not. He was on earth. So this tells us that if the Holy Spirit had come upon this king and he could not but worship God with his word. He walked signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Righteous in your generation. It doesn't matter how people look at you. Doesn't matter whether you have food to eat or have clothes to wear. Doesn't matter whether you have a good job or not. Doesn't matter whether you have a car or not. Doesn't matter whether you have good health or not. Doesn't matter in whatever state you are. Just make sure that you are standing right with God. That God is glorified in your life. That God can look down and say, I have this assignment. I can find this Edith, for example. I know that Edith can do this. Go and get her there. Can God find you and I as righteous in our generation? Can God say, I trust that this person can do this? I trust that Martha can do this. I trust that Joy can do this. I trust that David can do this. I trust that Emmanuel can do this. And whatever name. These are instruments of righteousness. They are my battle axes and the weapons of my war. See that in a strange land, far away, in a land that doesn't understand the language, you have to go and learn your way. Praise the Lord. Why were these people called righteous in their generation? Is it because of their name? Is it because of their job? Is it because of their age? What is any of those things? The Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It wasn't because of any of those things. Many of these men had their own weaknesses. Yes, imagine they had their weaknesses. Why were they called righteous? They were called righteous because they walked with God. Enoch did not ever harm God. I was 55 when I had my sisters. My father before me died at 912. Why do you want to take me now? Only 300 years after we got to this kingdom. Let me live like my father lived. In fact, let me outlive the years of my father. Why were these men called righteous in that generation? Number one, they have walked with God in a wicked and perverse society. They were living in a rotten society like we are living today. They were living, their society was rotten like our own today. But they chose to differentiate themselves. They differentiated their ways from the ways of the people of the world at the time they were living. Like the Bible says that Daniel focused in his heart. This is how they do in Babylon. In Babylon they drink. In Babylon they sleep with women in the king's court at the night. They exchange wives. In Babylon they do all kinds of things. They eat food with blood. In Babylon they eat food that is sacrificed unto idols, dedicated unto idols. Me and no way we want to be a part of that. They walk with God in a wicked and perverse society. Oh, I cannot walk with God because society is bad. Oh, wickedness is around. That is why I cannot walk with God. That cannot be true. We have examples. I just named a few. There are many honors. Many honors. There are women today that cannot endure. They will be sleeping from one man to another, moving up and down, up and down. But the Bible tells us. Of a blessed woman called Anna, who was in the temple serving God. She was of great age, 84 years, and had only lived the mother for 7 years. After 7 years, the mother died, and she decided that she was going to stay in the house of God, serving God in prayer and fasting and teaching, and the testimony she was helping people. She was there when Jesus was baby, came as a baby to the temple to the even in that condition, she chose to walk with God and she was seen as righteous. Can we that after the big birthday, and it tells you everything you need to know about her. These people differentiated their ways. They did not want to be contaminated, they were unsoiled by the contamination that was taking place. Today, to do business in Nigeria, you have to, if you're a man, that I know. God help you if you are asking somebody who is gay. You will want to have a gay relationship with a man. If you won't, you won't get a big man. If it's a big man, you're going on love or restriction or ECAT or any of those offers, he will want you to sign a form before he will give it to you. If you want small LPO to supply something, they will tell you this thing, how much it is. You say, okay, this thing is 1 million. Okay, right. Right? It's 6 million. Right, 100 million. We'll give you 1 million, you must give us our 99 million. The world is corrupt and perverted. There's no part of our society that's not corrupt today. Even in schools that are taking young children, babies. Now, a child is coming out of kindergarten, they are doing graduation. A child is coming out of secondary school, graduation. A child is coming out of primary, graduation. And all of them must wear the same shoe. All of them must wear the same gown, the same cap. Somebody is having that contract. And you cannot pull out your child because you want your child to be in school. So what do? You must pay to buy the uniform. The world is corrupt. The world is corrupt. They should be placed in you when people go and buy, they supply grain. They're supposed to supply good grain. But they show that they're bringing this, supplying this grain that are plastic rice, plastic this, plastic. The woman came to do damage control after that. She had already damaged her business. Because they showed her shop everything. And this woman is telling fake things. People be careful. People who go to church sometimes will see dead animals. They say it just died now. God has said we should not eat anything that is dead of his own self. They will bring that dead meat and sell in the market. I guess that's why I was supported when you are buying something from the market. Don't ask questions. Just buy it, take it home, bless it. If you don't ask questions so that you don't defile your conscience. But we can still choose to walk with God. Hallelujah. We can still choose. It's a prerogative. It's our prerogative as children of God to walk with God to be instruments of righteousness in a terrible society. They kept themselves from the influence of an ungodly society. Not society they were want of. But they did it, they were against God. They did as they liked. They said, come, let's make a name for ourselves. Let's build something and make a name for ourselves. God said, be fruitful, multiply, scatter all over the place, have dominion. They wanted to stay in one place. So God had to go and scatter them. Noah was there. Noah was living in that generation. They shunned the Leo. This is Leo. I will not lie to you. I will not say that it's not there. I will be untruthful if I said that there was no Leo. The lure of sin in this society is great. The lure of sin is great. It's great. So the work therefore of believers is to walk with the Holy Spirit. Is to yield to Him and cry to God that Lord help me to remain unspotted. I think it's in James chapter 1, the Bible tells us at the very last verse. It says, your religion now be found with this. That you visit the fatherless, the widow, and the orphan. Tell the stranger, and then you keep yourself unspotted. Keep yourself unspotted from the wrong. These men were called righteous because they did forgiveness. They differentiated their ways from the ways of the majority, of the multitude. They kept themselves from the contamination. They didn't want to be sold. They didn't want to be sold. So he tells me that there were people who were in fellowship with God. There were people who were in communion with God. There were people who were intimate with God. Because except you are doing things like your life, you will compromise. Fellowship. They had close fellowship with God. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Fellowship. Communion. Intimacy. Genesis 18, 17 and 19 tells us about Father Abraham, who was intimate with God. I think there's somewhere in the psalm that says that the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And he will show them his covenant. The secret of the Lord, the important things of the Lord, the precious things of the Lord, great revelations of God are with those who fear him. And it is those people that God reveals his covenant, his word, his plans to. Genesis 18, 17 and 18. And the Lord said, shall I have from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. We see the righteous standing of these men, helping them to have an even closer walk with God. Noah was delivered. Of all the nations, of all the people in the of all the people that have breath, of all the nations on the earth, Noah only, the three sons and their wives were delivered, and some animals. Why? Because he feared God, because he walked with God, because he believed God, was intimate with God. When you are walking with God, God cannot hide from you what is true. So sometimes when we pray, and we are saying, we will walk. And I'm saying, you are going to Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call unto me, and I'll answer you, and show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. We will cry, we will pray, we will that's what it is. We're not hearing anything, we're not feeling anything. Something is wrong. Something is wrong with our fellowship. Something is wrong with our intimacy. Something is wrong with our communion. We just have to go back to God and make amends. And God, who is gracious and plenteous in mercy, will restore us unto himself in Jesus' name. And we also see the same thing. God purpose in heart that was going to destroy the world. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 13. But we see he's going to tell just one man. This is what I'm going to do. He didn't tell all those other millions and thousands. Genesis chapter 6, verse 13. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. The end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence to them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. But he told him that you have found righteous, and I'm going to deliver you. And now, look at this. This is in chapter 9 of the book of Genesis, verse 19. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth was populated. So all of you who are sitting, all of us sitting down here, we're all descendants of Noah. Everybody in this world, who can be so precious? Abraham is the people called out unto God. He chose Abraham and chose his seed after him to make an example, to show the heathen. And this is what it is to serve the living God, the God of heaven. But Noah was more than that. After God destroyed the whole earth with the flood water, he repopulated the entire world as we know from the three songs. Noah walked with God. He was a found great by the God. The second thing is that these men were called righteous in their generation because they believed God. You know, sometimes God can tell us things. We can read things from scripture. We don't believe it. We don't believe it. And I discovered that as I was, you know, looking at scriptures, that the fear of God and obedience to God work together. If it's not possible to say that I obey God without fearing, without having reverential fear of God, without having respect for the awesome power, awesomeness of God in every application. So we can say that this man did not only obey God, they feared God. Their fear of God was shown by their obedience to God. If for example, Noah did not fear God, he would not have obeyed God to come build an ark when there was no drop of rain for 100 good years. 100 years building one ark, feared God. We even see in Genesis chapter 22, verse 9, we're not going to read it, from verse 9 to 18, when God demanded that Abraham should go and sacrifice Isaac, the son of the promise that God gave me to him. But he went. The little boy asked him, Father, this is the wood. This is the fire. But where is the lamb? And Abraham thanked God. Said God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering. And God did. The Bible said he tied up Isaac and lifted his knife to strike the boy. Sacrifice the boy. When the voice of God came from heaven and said, don't do it. By this I know that you fear me. By this I know that you love me. By this I know that you are serious with me. And when will God not come about his obedience unto him as righteousness? Abraham believed God and was accounted unto him for righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. May God find us worthy in Jesus' name. I pray that this message will, you know, touch our heart and cause us to, you know, have a rethink. Let's meditate on it. And ask this wouldn't happen yet. Enoch, Abraham, David, Daniel, Anna, even Elijah the prophet, who thought that he was the only one left. When Ahab was afraid of him, when his priest came and said, have you found me, all my enemy, 1 Kings 20:21? Have you found me? Verse 20. Have you found me, all my enemies? No, not your enemy. You are your own worst enemy. When that you have made people of God to go and start worshipping Baal, you have made them to start worshipping Elijah. Elijah, we know, was a prophet of prophets. God used him to walk great signs and wonders. Not where we are knowing signs and wonders today, but that you speak on behalf of God and God honors it. Unless my voice, no rain for 3.5 years. Bam! Heaven started. I don't know anybody, there's no report of anybody who has done that. No report of anybody who has done that. No rain. Look at Nigeria and say, well, what is happening in Nigeria? No rain for 6 months. All over the, whether it's not coming or where. Only at my voice. Men have walked with God. That's what I'm here to tell us today. You and I are supposed to walk with Him. Men have stood up. And if you look at it, none of them set off to make a name for themselves. None of them set off to have ambition. None of them set off to have degrees, titles. None of them, no. None of them. Daniel was the same, taking as a slave to his faithfulness. Abraham is God that added to him. Enoch, the Bible didn't tell us that he even had a bicycle scope. David started off with left legs. Those who were stranded, those who were disgruntled, those who didn't have anything, They are washed out of themselves of believing that in a kevana, and they went through the transformation. There's no reason. The Bible didn't tell us that love of the Mishnah. God chose them because they made themselves available. We have to put ourselves in the place that will attract God to call us and give us assignment. We always think, take my life and let it be consecrated to God, to take my moment and my day. But don't think it, we're just talking it. We don't know what it means. And meet the whole law. Are you righteous in your generation? In that place that they're living, do they know you? In your office, do they know you? Can they say, forget about David, you cannot get him to do this thing? Like they said about Gandhi, forget about grace, forget about Peter, forget about Paul. You can't get them to do this. These men obeyed God, they feared God, they trusted God. I would say that one must have really, really trusted God. Even Abraham, all of them, they trusted God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If we perish, we perish. We are not going to bow down to any image. If we perish, we perish. Do you know that is one of the things, that is one of the enemies of righteousness, of us becoming instruments of righteousness in our generation. We are not willing to count that cost. They trusted God. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Righteous in your generation. You want to be anything. If we want to amount to anything in the hands of the Almighty God, we must be upright. We must be right standing with God. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what's unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you. You shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. This is what this man did. Here, God is even telling them. They didn't even have this. This is New Testament. They didn't even have this scripture. They focused in themselves that they were going to be different. They came out from among their society. That's what God is calling us to do today. Come out from among your society in your dressing. Come out from among your society in what you eat. Come out from among your society in the way you think. Come out from among your society in your desires. Get rid of inordinate desire. Last week when we were doing a group study here, in one of our groups, we talked about inordinate desire. Since they have desires to reach in this world, they're going to fill themselves with so much sorrows. But having food and drink, let us not tell to be content, for we brought nothing into this world. Now we are going to go on with nothing. We're going to go on with nothing. I'm not going to do it two times. The honor is gone. The houses are there. The children are fighting over it. I said, before I went for Bible study, I told him here, I said, Daddy, don't let me come back and hear anything more. And what I was saying was, please, because he likes Nakatera. Don't send for Nakatera behind my back. And I'll come back now and be rushing to the hospital for insulin. I didn't know. That day, I served the food. And I said, go on, give him. And I heard a voice in the kitchen. I said, you give him. I called the girl back. I made it John. I said, John, bring it back. I collected the tray. I went and served my father. I didn't know that that was the last thing. He finished everything except for three bowls of, he finished his soup except for three bowls of food and drank 75 ml and banana water. And I told him, we're going to teach us the Bible so it will go well. That was the end. We brought nothing into this world. We're going to take nothing out. And the moment his eyelids closed, when I was not from here, no. He's going to give account of his life to God. Righteousness. Are you righteous in your generation? All the things that we are chasing after, those are the things that are the enemies of righteousness in our life. Those are the enemies of the things that will not allow God to use us the way He wants to use us. May the Lord have mercy upon us in Jesus' name. Finally, the final thing that, well, according to my notes, that made this man become righteous because they waited on God. They waited. You cannot see it in black and white, but in black. It's not possible to walk with God if you are in haste. The Bible says, he that believeth shall not make haste. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up big as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. They are waiting on God. Is there something that we are trusting God? Is there something that is missing in our life? Let's wait on the Lord. Knowing that He is our Father, He will bring it when we need it. And if He doesn't give it to us, we don't need it. We think we need it, but we don't need it. They're waiting on God. I saw it. Still wow. But only God never knows and caused the wind to blow on the earth so that the ground can begin to dry up, so that no one can come out of the ark. No one sent the dove. No one sent another something. He sent two kinds of birds. And so I think he sent just that for dove twice. Dove when the first time came back, that means nowhere to perch. No one opened the ark, brought him in, brought her in. After some time, Noah said, that one again. He went and never came. Okay, I came back with a leaf, a tiny leaf in his mouth, plucked the leaf and brought. Noah opened the window, brought the dog in. He said, okay, leaf, okay, things have begun to grow. He looked around, things have begun to grow. Okay? After some time, he said again the third time, and the bird never came back. So Noah believed that, yes, things are getting normal. But it's interesting to note that it didn't come out yet until God said, well, said God now told Noah that, well, yeah, open the window, I mean, open the door, and go. He waited. You know, many times we struggle to think that God wants to do in our life when we run before Him, when we cannot wait on the Lord. It's God that put Noah in the ark. Well, said God shut the ark. Because you are taking it for, you know, I'm not taking things for granted. God asked me to do this, so definitely anything I'm doing in pursuance of actualizing what God has told me is right. Who told you that? How do you know that? Very good example. God promised Abraham that he was going to give him a son, and that that guy that was born in his house, that slave child, was not going to be his inheritance. He was going to give him a child from his wife's womb. And they sent it to, after 10 years of waiting, they decided to walk it out themselves. They didn't wait. Sometimes God can even show you. I've heard people who say, oh, God showed them crowd, big crowd. They are preaching to big crowd. I've spoken to a man who is a pastor. Now, so he said, ah, mommy, God showed me 5,000 people. And I was preaching to him, wow, that's good. Did he tell you all these things? Look at all the things you've been doing. None of them. You cannot say, you know, this is what you just don't do from one ministry to the other, one pastor to the other, one pastor. No! You just find prayer and let God give you to an assembly. Stay there! Thank God. The Bible says it must be created one for Him. When it is time, God will walk it out. You will go and reach those 5,000. But right now, you go to this ministry, you work, go to this ministry, you work, go to this ministry, you work. You have fought everybody. What even made me know him is the latest fight he had with the current party. Then he had called me and said, oh, he's attending one big church that has a branch in Biafra. I said, stay there. Don't go anywhere again. Just stay there and be serving God. Then just go and join the one big church. Stay there and be serving. Don't worry that you know the Bible more than the pastor. Stay there and serve. When it is time, God, he that believes shall be. His name is faithful. They obey God. They trust God. They walk with God. They waited on God. They have fellowship, intimacy, communion. That is how. Those are the things that will distinguish you as a Christian. Believe me. That's what will distinguish you. That is what will distinguish you. The preaching process has not come to you in the tithing words of man meant wisdom, but in the demonstration of power. There's power in the Word of God. And that power is not cheap. That power comes from communion, from fellowship. We've heard of somebody who read the Bible and thought he had enough faith to withstand lions, and the way that jumped into the lion's den in a soup in the Bible, and the lion ate it and broke his bones. Will we blame him? He prayed, probably prayed and read the scripture and felt, I have faith and going. He didn't wait. For God to tell him, yes, I want to use it to demonstrate my power. Now go. Just now. And the lions broke, ate him and destroyed his life with his first leg to wisdom. In closing now, you say, somebody can tell these men were powerful men, they were not so to be. When we present ourselves before God and the Spirit comes into us, the Spirit gives life. The flesh profited. When we surrender ourselves to God, like we dedicate ourselves to Him, say, Lord, I'm dying. use me. God will use you. God will use me.
They were not perfect men. That's like Elijah. Remember, he ran away from Jezebel. Then Jezebel said, if I don't make your life like one of the lives of those my false prophets that you killed, he ran. And God was waiting for him somewhere to empower him and send him back. He ran. They had witnessed David. I found David a man after my heart. David committed adultery. David committed things that did not belong to him. David shed so much blood in war. David committed murder. So there's hope for you and I. And for all those who are here, there's hope for you. God is not looking for perfect men. Hallelujah. God is not looking for perfect men. God is looking for willing vessels. When you're a willing vessel and you let him know your need of him by fellowshipping, by having communion, by trusting, depending, fearing him, reverencing him, waiting on him, he will empower him. Did he not tell the disciples after he offended and he resurrected, before he ascended to heaven? He said, wait ye, carry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. There's nothing wrong with waiting. The world doesn't believe in waiting. Yesterday I was listening to television. Who is that television? And the man was saying, the power of the now, the power of the now, the power of the now. The next thing was, sow the seed for now, sow a now seed for a miracle that will happen later. I just moved. Look at this guy. I thought he had something to say. Even with our weaknesses, we can still stand for Christ. We can still stand for God. God will still use us. God can still use us. We can still stand and be righteous in our generation. Let's stand for our homes. Let's stand for our families. Do your brothers and sisters know that God will not compromise? Do they know that God will not compromise? In the church, they know that forget that brother, you will not do that thing. Do they know you? What is your testimony? What is my testimony? What is our testimony? Do they know what are people that will not compromise? Do they know what are people that will stand for God? Even when it goes to hot topics. The Bible says, blessed is he that sweareth, who is he that will ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that sweareth to his own heart and changes not. That's why when you tell God something and you don't do it, God says, look at it. Don't be a fool. When you go to the house of God, be quiet. Don't say, I'll do this, and then you don't do it. Abraham told that to preserve his life. You tell them you are my sister. Even though they have to, tell them you are my sister, so they won't kill me. This is why. He listened to more counsel. Blessed is he that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is he that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Let me tell you, if you think that somebody is going to come with bread and stick, Bucket eye like a big bat and come and tell you something, then you say, oh, this person, no, I cannot say, look at the appearance of wrong counsel can come from even from a child of God that is not in the spirit. Blessed is he that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Sarah was Abraham's wife, was she not? But she gave him counsel that put him in trouble. That didn't think what in trouble feel today. The Ishmaelites. Israel. They are still living in the today. One wrong counsel. So these were men who had their failings. They had their weaknesses. But in spite of the weakness, because they sought after God, they stood out in their generation. Today we can talk about them. Today we can make reference to them. So why? What is it that is stopping us? What is it that is stopping you? What is it that is hindering you from standing out for God? Standing out for God. Standing up for God. What is that hindering me? Many Christians today do not want to count the cost. We don't want to count the cost. Do you think that Bible study is an hindrance? Don't mean just reading that. It's a Bible study. You look at this version, look at that version, look at this version, look at this version. That's why the Bible says, labor in the world. The Bible says, respect those who labor in the world and in doctrine. It doesn't say respect those who read or respect those who preach. They respect those who labor. It's laboring. To labor to receive from God. They know these are your people. I don't want to go and talk nonsense there. In fact, I'm not the one talking. I'm just going there. Holy Spirit, preach, talk through me. Many of us have refused to distinguish ourselves Because we are caring like that. We are caring about what people will say. They will say, Mara will go. They will look at that. Maybe I'm not that care. Maybe I'm not that care. See the suit. One thing is going on. Just because I'm a Christian. So I'll just dress nonsense. Just because I'm a Christian. So I will not go and watch movies. So because I'm a Christian. So I cannot do that. I cannot do that. There are some things. Let me tell you. Even though the Bible tells us that grace, the grace of God, has given us the liberty, there are limits. God has never left His children without boundaries. Don't just think of your own children. How you love them. How you want them to grow and become, you know, precious people, successful people, serving God and everything, and making you proud, making the nation proud. You have to set boundaries for those children if you want them to become that. Don't just make them and they will be doing anything. You have to set boundaries. The grace of God has set boundaries to help us to stand right in our generation. That set us boundaries, God in it, sober in it, righteously, sober in it, looking for the glorious appearance of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Those are the things that we have to give ourselves to. But many of us today, many Christians all over the world, not just in Africa, I know we have a lot of hunger. And poverty in Africa, but then it is everywhere, even where there is no poverty. When we went to the States some years back, we went to a church. Before we started the work, we were attending on another church. We were looking at lots of churches. We attended a church, and the pastor was saying, well, what are those things? Please, if you see people who are getting out, or they raise up their hands, don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. Who? People who are raising hands to worship God, they don't be embarrassed. Why? Because you want to be politically correct. Because you don't want to embarrass. And those people don't need to be in that church. They don't need to be in that church. Anybody can be embarrassed by raising your voice to speak to God, clapping your hands. You need not make shout of the God with the voice of triumph. Oh, clap your hands for me, people. Shout of the God with the voice of triumph. Play fearfully with a loud noise. You know Jesus? Many of us care about what people will say about us. We don't want to lose our worldly friends who play with them and say, okay, look, it's time for me. I can't come today because I have church service. Who is going to do? Secondly, you know why we have refused to distinguish ourselves in our generation? Inadvertently, it's covetousness. Covetousness. You have forgotten that you were once like them. God brought you out. God has washed you. We were washed. We were cleansed. We were sanctified. We have been made a peculiar people unto God. Why do you want to go back and wallow in their nonsense? We are covetous. We want to wear their polar shoes. We want to dress like it. We want to drive the shaka. We want to have this fantastic job. We want to have dollars. We want to have time. We want to have yes. Some pastors don't preach when they are asking people to pray for blessings. They never mention naira. It's dollars and pounds and Swiss francs that they are mentioned. You see, covetous, keeping us from saying, no, I want to be different from God. I'm going to stand for Christ. I'm not going to compromise. I'm going to stand. And brother, nobody knows the day that God is going to come. Nobody knows. You don't even know, you may not want to die, but you don't know the day of your visitation. Maybe you never failed God in Jesus' name. You don't know the day God wants to use you to show up to Satan. Then you just fall flat on your face. Paul said, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, was telling to come, please, oh, bring this, even as for taking me, having loved this present God. Many of us were born again, tongue talking. We are still very much in love with this present world. I'm telling you, all you need to do, you know, sometimes you think of things, if I myself, I catch myself sometimes, there's some things I thought were there in me. They're only there because they're not confronting me. You understand? Because I'm not saying it. Let me see that thing now. What do I mean? Desires. You know, there was a time that it didn't matter to me what I was putting on. When I was wearing a yellow dress and an orange sandal, not even shoes, sandal. It didn't matter to me. But when we begin to, you know, look around, what to live delicately and all that, there are some things that we're doing. We are refusing to let those things must die. We must let those things go. Otherwise, we will not. We cannot satisfy God. We will not be righteous in our generation. We cannot be people that God, be people that God will show up with. It's very, very costly to stand up for Christ in your generation. It will cost you everything. It will cost you everything. I like to use this example everywhere I mention it. And it will cost you everything. I heard it from Catherine Kuhlman, late Catherine Kuhlman, when she was, I think for the last meeting she had before she went home to be with the Lord. She was addressing some church leaders in Israel. The world was packed full of church leaders, men, leading different congregations, and she was addressing them. She said, when you want to follow the Master, when you want to be yield the Master, and you are the bride, it will cost you everything. To cost you your career, to cost you your reputation, to cost you your education, to cost you money, to cost you your friends, number one. They are the first ones to drop. Say, what's this guy here? No. They will be embarrassed. Look, even your sister and brother. I know that sometimes my sister says, that is too much now.
We have forgotten that God saved us to make us instruments of righteousness In a dark and perverse world, we are compromised quickly, our faith, the making of action. So the plans that we have nothing to do with the kingdom. So our affections have nothing to do with the kingdom of God. And so some people wonder, why are the people more resorted to this man, this woman, this child, this girl, this boy, this young man, this young lady, this old man? Why is it that he repented God and he has made man? And so he said that we're going to destroy him in the flood. May God look upon us with mercy. In all the areas of our lives that we are filled in, compromising that we are making, we are not ready to count the cost of following Jesus. We are not ready to stand out. We want to be acceptable to our friends. We want to still walk in the circle. A woman of God who I consider as a mother in the Lord, at some point in time, said to me, Grace, that's all, my mother wants to come and serve full time. Mother said, he wants to come and serve God full time. But you know something? I've told him, full time or not full time, the standard of living must not drop in my house. That's the counsel. That's an ongoing counsel. Even I, as tiny as I was compared to her in the Lord, and in ranking, I cringed inside me. Yeah? My mother said, he wants to serve God full time. But I've said it all, is a warning that the standard of living must not drop. How will it not drop? How will it not drop? He's no longer going to be getting that salary. And sometimes God may want to prove him to see whether he's coming because of that he said, that he said. Or he's coming because God has need of him. Many of us not come to the cross. We don't want to die to our personal ambition. Talk to God. Talk to God. Father, have mercy upon us. Many of us are so much alive. We have refused the old man and his passions and desires to be crucified. We read about men like Noah, like Daniel, like David, Abraham, Enoch, and several more. We preach about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We talk about Isaiah. Just read the book of Isaiah and see the depth of revelation that God gave. I don't know if he had rest. All the multitude of messages that God sent to his people through this prophet. We want to have that power. We want God to use us. We want to be known, but we don't want to be the Christ. We're not ready to wait God wants us to be. We're not in intimate fellowship with him. And so God cannot even reveal. I mean, don't just look at Nigeria, look at our nation Nigeria. I have not heard any man of God who has said, this is what is happening. I mean, obviously, this is what is happening. This is what the Spirit of God is saying concerning Nigeria. You feel to this season, they are still talking. Yes, you receive your miracle, your miracle, your miracle. They are moving to the next level. Anybody who says you should not have a miracle, baby will die. Everybody who says that you will not rise up will die. That's all we're hearing. Receive. Nobody is able to calm the nerves in the church, in the nation. With the right word, because I know the right word of God will come with power. We're all playing the gallery. And God is looking for a man. God is looking for a man. God is looking for one woman, one man, who will spend time with him, who will commune with him, who will be intimate with him so that he can reveal his secret to that man. Being right with God is not coming to church service. It's not singing. It's not paying time and offering. It's not dancing. Being righteous in our generation has to do with our intimacy with the one who has called us and being yielded to do his will. For what use is it to God? Having all people making noise every Sunday, every Thursday, every Tuesday, every Wednesday, every Friday, for each and every day. And then when you have an assignment, nobody is there. We will start giving excuses. Lord, I have headaches. Lord, my leg is paining me. Lord, I'm fat. Lord, I did not eat. There's no food in my house. Lord, I have no money in my bank account. No money in my purse. Lord, my child is sick. Lord, my husband is sick. Lord, my mother and my father, they are ill. Lord, I have no money to do business. Lord, I have not paid my school fees. I have not paid my house rent. But what do you do with it? You think about if you were an investor. And we know that God has invested the best gift so that you and I can be instruments of his righteousness. Let's ask the Lord to show us mercy. But in this, we dedicate ourselves to him. Have your way, Lord, in my life. Have your way, Lord, in my life. Have your way, Lord. Let your glory fill my heart. Have your way, Lord, in my life.
Have your way.
Have your way.